This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:40 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Hezril and Kelvin. And we're now talking about the supply bill that was passed in Parliament and why it was controversial. Essentially, it entails allocations to government ministries worth 7.18 billion ringgit. It's meant to factor in the restructuring of the cabinet since Pariketa National formed the government. Yesterday, Parliament passed the bill with a slim majority, 111 votes in favor and 106 against.
Yeah, but opposition MPs criticised the bill as irresponsible. Langkawi MP Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad said the government shouldn't ask for additional allocations. They should be reduce spending to keep the national deficit down amid the pandemic. But Finance Minister Dato Sri Tengku Zafrul Tengku Abdul Aziz has previously said that the bill doesn't involve additional allocations. Instead, the funds would come from the current 2020 budget as well as government savings.
So to get a clearer picture, we'll be speaking with two guests this evening. Firstly, to Lembah Pantai MP Fahmi Fadzil about the bill itself, and then we'll cross over to Tricia Yeo from Ideas to look at its economic implications. So now we're going to cross over to YB Fahmi Fadzil, Lembah Pantai MP, to get his insights on the bill. YB Fahmi, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, guys.
So could you briefly recap for us the purpose of the supply bill?
Okay, we have had in this session of Parliament, there are four notable bills. The first is a supplementary bill for money that was spent last year by the Pakatan Harapan government. So there's about 7-something billion ringgit. The second one is a new bill for new ministries, which was passed yesterday. This is for 10 new ministries and reallocation of agencies. The one that we are debating right now is the COVID-19 a stimulus package is 45 billion ringgit. And the fourth one, which will be next week, will be the COVID relief measures. So those are the specific laws dealing with force majeure, insolvency, etc.
With this particular bill that we're addressing today on the supply bill, why did opposition MPs ultimately vote against it?
Yeah, okay. There was a misconception that this bill that was passed yesterday by a vote of 111 to 106 was something to do with COVID. It's got nothing to do with COVID at all. Actually, it's to pay for the new ministers and the new ministries. You know, the one where you have one minister and two deputies, some of them, and for moving some of the agencies around. We have, for example, what was once with YBOB in, has been split into three ministries, for example. So this bill is to reappropriate funds for these new ministries. There was confusion, mostly because there were some cyber troopers or trolls, unfortunately, including the member of parliament of Pekan, who in my speech this afternoon I said it shouldn't be happening because he took leave from court proceedings to be with us to cast the vote. And he knew, obviously, the bill has nothing to do with COVID. It was a reappropriation bill.
Former Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad called for MPs to reject the bill as it would add to the national deficit. However, Finance Minister Tengku Zafrul Tengku Abdul Aziz said that the bill would not require additional allocation. So what's your take on these opposing statements? What's actually going on here?
Okay, so you're referring to the COVID. Are you referring to the COVID bill that we're debating today?
No, so this was still on the supply bill that was passed yesterday in Parliament.
Okay, for the new ministries. Yeah. We were against it mostly because for us, at this point in time, we don't need all these new ministries. For example, a ministry that was helmed by Yeo Bi-in at one point had to be split into three. I mean, what's the point of that? Of course, all of this politically has to do with the scheme of things, unfortunately. So for us, we reject it because you can't turn these ministerial posts into giveaways, into positions that you can barter and trade. You know, every minister is paid quite a big sum of money. And so as a result, the impact on the public funds, it's better that we spend all of that money on COVID-19, for example, to deal with COVID-19, not to pay for new ministers and deputy ministers and envoys with the status of ministers, whose role we find not so effective at this point in time.
Well, the bill has passed. What now? Are there any additional measures that can be taken to address the government's growing deficit?
Yes, definitely. So what you saw yesterday was actually it reinforced the perception that this government only has 111 votes out of 222, which means it's really right split down the middle. And they lack two, even though they're supposed to have 113. So what that means is that this is a very unstable government. It could collapse at any time if they fail to muster the votes. In fact, that was why some of us said, the unprecedented measure of the Speaker postponing the session for 10 minutes, albeit because we have a new complex, a new building behind, give us enough time to come. But some people felt, hey, why this delay? Why this 10-minute delay? So today the Speaker came up and raised, and spoke about it. Ultimately, the checks and balances continue. Today, for example, in our debates for this 45 billion ringgit relief measure, many have raised the issue of the mechanisms for delivery of the funds to the rakyat. So at the very least, at every point, at every bill, at every vote, we will be there to check them, and when the time is right, to take over.
With that, Fahmy, thanks again for speaking to us this evening.
Thank you.
That was YB Fahmy Fadzil, MP of Lembah Pantai. After this, we'll be crossing over to Tricia Yeo, CEO of Ideas, to get her take on the economic implications of the bill. In the meantime, keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:49 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Hezril and Kelvin. We're now looking at the Supply Bill 2020 that was passed yesterday in Parliament, and essentially it gives allocations worth 7.18 billion ringgit to the new ministries and deputy ministers under the Perikatan National Government. We're now going to speak with Tricia Yeo, CEO of Ideas, to understand the economic implications of this bill. Thanks for joining us, Tricia.
Hi.
What were your first impressions of the bill and the sum it involves? Because it's quite large.
Thanks for having me. I think one of the things that perhaps is a slight misconception is that it's a new, a fresh amount of funding that is being passed. So the bill actually is more like a reallocation of funding, both in terms of the operation expenditure and the development expenditure. So it covers, say, the running of projects, emoluments, supply and services for the new ministries that were also passed in the Dewan Rakyat yesterday.
Were there any provisions within the bill that you found as perhaps being a bit of an issue in any way?
I think the question really is about what the funds are going to be for. And one of the reasons this was actually tabled was because there was an expansion in the numbers of ministries, right? And so then the question is, okay, during this time of, particularly economically dampened situation, whether the country needs to reallocate certain funds for the purpose of those ministries. I mean, there's been a lot of already criticism, not just with this government, but the previous administrations, about the size of the cabinet and whether there's a possible way to trim that down. I suppose the other thing that struck me was that more about its absence rather than the presence. I think there's an absence of maybe more clarification as to whether, these figures, are they going to be revised? Will more money actually be tabled in the Dewan Rakyat because, as I said, it was a reallocation. And given that we had the latest figures about the second quarter's GDP rate dipping quite significantly, I mean, the expected revenues of the country may be less. You know, will there be a need again to table yet another supplementary bill? So I think there are other questions that we also still need to raise, which unfortunately were not yet answered with this particular bill.
Right. And does the bill make fiscal sense for the country right now? Is it something that we can afford at this point in time?
The question, again, I think your question sort of implies that the bill was additional funding. So again, it was kind of like a reallocation. So maybe I can give you an example. So $7.1 billion was reallocated for operating expenditure. And then on top of that, the government also reallocated $7.8 billion for development expenditure. So a very good example would be the fact that the National Unity Ministry, which did not exist before, has now been passed into being. And so the National Unity Ministry itself will now have like a total of 324.4 million ringgit compared to like previously not having that amount. But this is reallocated, right? So is this something that we can afford? In a way, yes, because this was already part of the 2020 budget that was approved in October last year. But I think the further question to ask is, you know, given the economic impact of the COVID this year and the situation with the GDP that we've seen, and, you know, we also expect things to not bounce back so quickly, whether further bills will need to be passed. And then the question will be asked about whether we can afford like passing even more supplementary bills, given, you know, the fact that we are actually increasing our operating expenditure with the new ministries possibly in the near future. And also we have to think about how this connects with other things like the price of oil, which we know that the country is quite heavily dependent on. About 19% of our revenues come still from the oil and gas industry.
Right. We do know that this current administration does have a much larger cabinet. Could the Prime Minister technically afford to trim it down?
Yes. So talking about the size of the administration, we have, including the Prime Minister, the ministers and the deputy ministers, we have 70 posts under the Perikatan National Government compared to 55 in the past. So under PH, you had 28 ministers and 27 deputy ministers. And under PN, you have 32 ministers and 38 deputy ministers. So the deputy ministers is the one that really stands out. Like it's, you know, kind of almost, well, not doubled, but there's like 11 more deputy ministers now than there were before. But I think I'd also like to point out that even under PH, there were already some criticisms about the size of the cabinet being bloated. And of course, now the fact that it's grown even bigger, that does not really augur well for you know, having an efficiently sized cabinet. And whether there is a possibility to trim it down, I mean, the answer is a resounding yes. There are ministries that can be combined. I believe, you know, one of the ministries that was headed by YB Yobiyin in the past has now been split into three. And so, you know, instead of downsizing, this administration has actually upsized the cabinet, and understandably because there are different coalition interests to take care of. But if we're talking about fiscal prudence, especially given the current economic climate, I think this administration would definitely be under pressure to trim the cabinet down, yes.
Which on that latter point is something I wanted to talk to you about as well. Right? Politically, how popular would that move be if Tan Sri Muhyiddin were to, say, remove some deputy ministers to combine some ministries entirely?
Well, the current situation politically, I think it's very difficult for the current Prime Minister, given that he has multiple interests to take care of, bearing in mind that, you know, it's a government of three parties that did not go into an election to cooperate. And so we do see already, you know, quite blatantly, actually, like public criticism of each other across party lines. Which is quite unprecedented, especially if you think about how these parties under the Barisan National Time would definitely not hang their dirty linen in public. So whether or not the restructuring is possible and, you know, removing some of the deputy ministers, I don't think that's going to happen, especially as there is speculation of a general election being called before the end of the year. The negotiations are rife at the moment, and it would not be in his interest to make any significant changes, and definitely not within the cabinet. But one last thing I'd like to say, which is that, you know, going back to the question of fiscal prudence, you know, even if we spend more this year than what has been currently tabled in this bill, that is not unusual. And every year, Malaysian Parliament does pass sometimes two supplementary bills. And this has been the perennial practice. This is not necessarily a good practice in the sense that the budget that's tabled in October or November every year, what that means is that that budget is typically not sufficient to cover the following fiscal year. And so, you know, we have a lot of scrutiny over the November budget, but less scrutiny is given to the following supplementary bill. And I think that's definitely a process that can be improved, especially for public scrutiny.
Right. And with that, Tricia, thanks so much for those insights.
Thank you.
That was Tricia Yeo, CEO of Ideas. If you have any thoughts on the, just to make it clear, the reallocation of the 7.18 billion ringgit to accommodate the restructuring of the new cabinet under the Perikatan National Government, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now headed to some messages. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.